Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 1 Chronicles, that was weird how I said that, it's not Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29 in the Old Testament. Today we're going to do something that we do every year around this time, because as a Foursquare church, we're required to have an annual business meeting at least once a year. And so in 2015, I started incorporating that business meeting into one of our Sunday morning services here in the month of January. And that's because I believe that our financial health as individuals is just as important as the financial health of our church. Now, if you've been around here at all, you've heard me say time and time again that our desire is to be good stewards of whatever it is that God gives us, right? Whether that's people, whether that's buildings, facilities, or our finances. And I think it's important that we take time to talk about finances in the church because God cares about every aspect of our lives. Now, I want you to know this. I am not talking about finances this morning because our church needs money, okay? I grew up in the church and I hated when the pastor or the council members or whatever got up and, we need your money, we're going to vote, you know, and I'm just like, come on, really? Isn't God our provider? Do we need to like beg people for money? And so I am not here to beg for money this morning. If you know me, I'm not someone that worries really about the finances of our church because I know that God is our provider, right? Jehovah Jireh, right? We talked about that this morning. He is our provider. And I know this, last week we celebrated our 11th anniversary, and every one of those 11 years, God has faithfully provided for our needs here at this church. And this last year was no exception. As a matter of fact, last year turned out to be the best year financially that we have had since we planted the church. And so I'm not here to tell you that we need your money or to tell you to give more. That's not why I'm here. I'm up here just being obedient to the Lord and to share how God has blessed us this past year and his desire for us to be givers. And so I'm going to start by sharing a message that the Lord has put on my heart. And then afterwards, we're going to just finish up at the end with a financial report of the church for 2022. And so with that said, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 18. It's actually a big chunk of scripture here. I'm going to go through it fast, and then we'll come back and I'll highlight the things that are important. But this is what it says. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power of the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you." Take a breath. There we go. Now, when King David recorded these words, it was a time when Israel's spiritual life was at its peak. King David, at this time, he was an old man. And he was in the process of handing the baton to his son Solomon. Now, David's desire as king for years had been to build a temple for the Lord. Because if you remember, up until the temple was built, the worship of God centered around a tent. And David had wanted to build a permanent structure, a permanent temple for the Lord. But if you remember, because of his sin and failures, God had told David that he wouldn't be the one to get to build the temple. Instead, it would be his son Solomon that would have this honor and privilege. And so now David is calling the nation of Israel together to work with his son, King Solomon, to build the temple. And this scripture is an inspiring story of God's people giving generously in order to do the work of the Lord, to build the temple. And the reality is, God has called us today to do the same, to give generously to help build his church. And so as I read through these scriptures, I realized that there were six things that stand out in regards to being a giving church. How do we be a giving church? Well, it tells us really in these scriptures. And so I want to look at those six things with us this morning. And so let's start. Number one, a giving church gives to God, not to man. In verse 1, David says that the work of building the temple was a great work because it wasn't being built for man, but for the worship and glory of God. You see, it's one thing to give your hard-earned money, right, to a man or to a facility, but it's something completely different to give our money to the Lord. When we give our money to the ministry of a local church, we're actually giving to help build God's church. Hopefully, most of the time, that's right. Okay, I just say that because I know that there are some churches that maybe that's not true, but that is our desire. When we give money to the ministry of a local church, it's to help build God's church, to reach the lives that God has called that church to reach, to extend his kingdom. Now, the thing we have to realize is that the New Testament church, the church of today, isn't a building, right? It's not the temple. It's not a physical structure. building the church today is building the body of Christ, which is us. It's the people, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" So when we give to the local church, we partner with God in building a people of faith that glorify Him and seek to grow His church. That's why our first priority is not replacing the orange carpet. It's loving and caring for people, right? We give because the King of Kings invites us to partner with Him in building His church. The ministry of Dallas Foursquare Church, it's God's work, right? It's not something that I just dreamt up one day. Because if you know me, you know I never desired to be a senior pastor. And I really never desired to plant a church, okay? I mean, one, no, I don't want to be a senior pastor. Lord. No, I do not want to plant a church, Lord. I mean, seriously, I never wanted to plant a church. I definitely did not dream this up. But God did. This is God's church, and our desire is to fulfill the mission that He has given to us as the church, which is to love God, to love people, and to extend His kingdom. And so when we give to the work of Dallas Foursquare Church, we're not giving to man. We're not giving to a building. We're giving to the Lord. Second thing that spoke to me from the scriptures is this. A giving church gives out of their devotion to God. In verse 5, David asks a question. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? David is basically saying here that giving to this temple project was a matter of consecration to God. David's generous gifts came from a consecrated heart. Now, this word consecrated, what does that even mean, right? I hear it, I've heard it in churches. What does it mean? Well, the word consecrated means to set something apart, to give or to devote ourselves to something. And so David was giving himself, consecrating himself to God. And this gift that he gave expressed his heart and devotion to the Lord. You see, I believe if we're truly devoted to the Lord and to the advancement of His kingdom, giving will become a part of who we are in Christ. If we truly love God with all our heart and if we're truly devoted to Him, then we'll want to give to Him and the advancement of His kingdom. We'll be seeking Him and be obedient to what He's calling us to do, whether that's the church or other ministries and ways that He's called us to give. And when we think about that, kind of asks us, or it kind of forces us, I should say, to ask ourselves a very difficult question. What does my giving this past year say about my devotion to the Lord? Because whether we want to believe it or not, our giving is a direct reflection of our trust and our devotion to the Lord. And the thing we have to understand is that God, He doesn't really need our money, right? We're not giving because God, oh, you better give. God needs your money. If you don't give, God's not going to be able to make it happen, right? God doesn't need our money. He just wants our heart and our devotion. And if we love Him and are devoted to Him, then we will have a natural desire to give to Him and to His works, which then leads me to the third thing that He spoke to me from these scriptures about giving, which is this. A giving church gives generously. In verses 2 through 5, it tells us of the enormous gifts that King David gave for the building of the temple. And in verse 14, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Here in this verse, David points out that he points out the generosity of the people. And generous giving is something that I believe is actually biblical. It's God's desire for our life. God's desire is that we would want to give to Him and to His work and to others. It's a major principle found throughout the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, Paul shares this. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, he's referring here to the church in Macedonia. You see, the church in Macedonia, it was a very poor church. Yet they gave generously. And one thing we have to understand is that giving generously has nothing to do with how wealthy we are. Giving generously means to give with an open heart, to give from our heart. It's not just giving out of what we can afford. It's actually giving out of obedience, listening to the Lord. Lord, what is it you're calling me to give? It goes back to my last point in our devotion to God. We see this from David in verse 3. He says, besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver. And so first he gave from the kingdom, right? And then it's like, but beyond that, I want to give of my own personal stuff. I want to give it to help build the temple. David's love for God prompted him to give even more from his own personal treasure. His love for God caused him to give generously. You see, we're always willing to give more to what we love, right? We're willing to sacrifice more for something that we dearly love. And as we grow in our love for the Lord, we then grow in our desire to give generously to Him and to His work. So when we give, we are called to give generously out of our love for the Lord. Fourth thing that spoke to me out of these scriptures is this. A giving church not only gives generously, they give willingly. In the scriptures, David places great emphasis on the willingness in which the people gave to God and building the temple. As a matter of fact, the word willing is used 4 times in verses 6 through 17. And at the end of verse 17, he says, and now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you. David and the people, they didn't give because they felt guilty, pressured because the pastor talked about giving that day. They didn't give because they needed a tax write-off for that year. They gave out of a sincere desire and willingness to love their Lord, to give. The New Testament makes it very clear that this is a principle of giving that is important to God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each man should give, or woman, should give what he has decided, or she, in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, God doesn't want our offering if we give it reluctantly, or if we give it out of guilt, because like I told you, He doesn't need it. As I mentioned earlier, we don't pass offering plates anymore. Now, it started because of COVID and not wanting to pass germs as we pass the plates. But we actually made a conscious decision now not to bring the offering plates back, not to pass them anymore. And that's because we didn't want people to feel pressured to put money in just because a plate passed by them, or they were willing, the person to the left or right was looking to see if they put any money, or just because the ushers at the end of the row standing there going, come on, nope, not enough, more, you know, right? Our ushers didn't really do that. But we did not want people to give out of guilt. We want people to make a conscious decision to give. For it to be something that we do, not because we have to, but because we want to. Not because we're worried people will judge us if we don't, but because we love the Lord God wants us to be people who give willingly and cheerfully out of our love and devotion to Him, which leads me to the next thing that spoke to me from these scriptures. A giving church experiences joy in giving. Now, the key to this one, to experience that joy, is that we have to give with a right heart. David and his people rejoiced greatly after they had given willingly and generously. We see this in verse 9 when it says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord." David, the king, also rejoiced greatly. And then in verse 17 it says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." And I think it's important to notice David's emphasis on joy here. Joy was a result of them giving willingly to the Lord, giving to His work. I don't believe that we'll ever truly know the kind of joy possible in life until we learn to give the way God intended us to give. And the reason I believe this is because God is a God who loves to give. And I believe He created us with the desire and need to be givers ourselves, so that we, when we give, we actually experience His joy. Jesus taught us this in His preaching. In Acts 20:35, it says that Jesus Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." He tells us that when we give, we'll receive more joy than when we get. I got to tell you, I have seen this in my own life. And I'll be honest, I used to be pretty selfish, right? And I'm still growing in this area. I still struggle with selfishness when it comes to food, okay? Darren don't share his food, okay? He doesn't like to share his food. I'm learning. I'm growing in that. I've been growing in this area. But I will tell you, having kids caused a big change in my life. After having kids, I found myself spending my own money on them instead of me. And I realized how much more pleasurable it was to buy stuff for my kids, especially when they were young and their eyes got all big and excited when I'd give them this gift, right? And it felt so much better to give than to receive. And I've discovered that some of the happiest people I know are often the most generous givers. And I found the opposite to be true as well, right? Some of the most unhappy people I know are the most selfish people out there. If we want to be people who experience true joy in our lives, then we need to be unselfish givers who give with a right heart. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about our time, our resources, whatever we have that can be given and shared with others. I guess even our food too. So I got to work on that one. And then the final thing that stood out to me about giving in these scriptures is probably one of the most important ones for us to understand, which is this. A giving church is giving God what's His to begin with. That's a hard one for us to wrap our heads around at times. It's just giving God what was His in the first place. Listen to what David says in verse 13. He says, "Everything comes from you," and he's talking to the Lord, "and we have given you only what comes from your hand." And then in verse 16, he says, "O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." Now, David kind of makes two key points in these verses. The first is that everything we have comes from the Lord, right? The reality is, we would have nothing. No money, no possessions, no family, no health, and no life, right, if God hadn't given these things to us. James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And then in Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18, it says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. It was all me. I did everything, right? But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is today." The truth is, there is no such thing as a self-made person. Our ability to make a living is a direct gift from God. Everything we own, our houses, cars, jewelry, TVs, you name it. What's important to you? What are your great possessions? They came from God. You have them because of Him. He is the source of all our possessions. He is the one that allows us to be able to possess these things. And so when we give to God, we're simply giving back some of what He first gave to us. And think about this, when we're unwilling to give God something that He gave to us in the first place, how ungrateful at times does that make us? And I'm not pointing fingers here because I've done this numerous times. But no, it's mine, God. When in reality, He gave it to me. It'd be like a parent buying their kids a giant 1 pound bag of M&Ms and asking them, "Hey, can I have one of those M&Ms? And the kid responds saying, "No, these are my M&Ms. I need every single one of them. You should buy your own bag, Mom or Dad." Now, I know that sounds so childish, but it really is a great example of us at times. We have to realize anything we have has been given to us by God. And the second key point David makes in these verses is that everything we have not only comes from God, it also belongs to Him. It's His. We are simply called to steward what He's given us, right? And a steward is someone who manages the resources of another and with the purpose of accomplishing the goals of the owner of those resources. We're called to be stewards. And since everything we have came from God and belongs to God, we don't really have the right to deny God whatever He may ask of us. Let me give you another example here. Toby, my son, is about to finish his second year at Chemeketa, plans to head off to the U of O next year to finish college. And so let's imagine the dad was feeling generous and decided to buy a brand new car for him to take and to drive while he's down in Eugene. And I even tell him, "I'm going to pay for the gas. I'm going to pay for the insurance. I'm going to cover the cost of maintenance, any repairs. I'm going to take care of all of that." And then one weekend, he comes home to visit. And I say, "Hey, can I borrow that new car this evening to take Mom out on a date?" But he says, "No, you can't use my car. I have plans for it." Now, I know this sounds a little far-fetched. One, because I can't afford a new car. Two, because Toby wouldn't respond this way. But this example, when you really think about it, is no different than how we act when we refuse to give God what is really His in the first place. You see, when we come to the realization that it's God's, not ours, it becomes a lot easier for us to give it away, right? You see, proper stewardship when it comes to giving is simply our loving response to all that God has blessed us with. When we look at these scriptures, we realize that giving is far more than churches just asking for money. It's understanding a godly principle that God Himself demonstrated as He gave us the gift of His Son, right? It's the godly principle that Jesus demonstrated as He gave His own life for us. And we are called to follow in His footsteps as we learn to be a giving church. You see, I can share this message on giving today without apologizing for talking about money and the church, because we wouldn't encourage you to do something that we don't do ourselves. As I shared earlier, this isn't a plea this morning for money. The church is not struggling financially. God has faithfully provided for us as He has all 11 years. And we actually had the biggest financial year we've ever had since we planted the church in 2022. And I believe that's the result of a church council and a church leadership that has said from the very beginning, this is not our church. This is God's church. And from day one, we have been faithful to be givers and to trust that He is our provider, to hold our hands open and let Him put whatever He wants to put in, but also take out whatever He wants to take out. I believe that we are a giving church because I believe we've done these six things well. And God's desire is that all of us, that we would all continue to grow in this area of giving back to Him what is really His in the first place. And so will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that, Lord, You demonstrated to us what it means to give, as You gave of Your life for us so that we could have life. God, You demonstrated as You gave Your Son to us. And so, Lord, You are simply asking us to just do what You've done, Lord. You wouldn't ask us to do things that You weren't willing to do Yourself, and that's what I love about the God that I serve. And so, Lord, I thank You for Your generosity, and I pray that You would help us to learn to be people who walk in generosity, Lord, that people who learn how to give, Lord. And again, it's not just about money. Lord, You call us to give in so many different ways, giving of our time, caring for others, loving others. And so, Lord, teach us to be givers. And as I mentioned earlier, Lord, the church isn't a building. The church is the people. And so help us as individuals to learn to be a giving church, to be a giving person who seeks You and Your will for our life, who seeks to see Your kingdom extended, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for this word. And again, I just pray that You allow this word to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. What is it that we needed to hear in this message today? May we grab hold of that and walk in the obedience that You call us to walk in, Lord. We thank You for these things. We give them to You. In Jesus' name, amen.